We want to hear from you. You can contact us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Thomas Anonymous Podcast. Send us a message, like and share our page. Tell all your friends they can hear every episode of Thomas Anonymous on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and at TommyNatoli.com. What? No, I have to do it again. I hope you're happy. God damn it.
The Stitcher part.
What is that?
It just made me laugh.
Hi, welcome to Thomas Anonymous. Today's show, we have Chapter 17, Vag Monologues Part 2, Tango with a Cunt. Followed immediately by the Weed Cab. Buckle up, it's going to be a truthful ride. My name is Tommy Natoli, and this is Thomas Anonymous. Chapter 17, Vag Monologues Part 2, Tango with a Cunt. After I left Willow and the attic apartment, I got a non-refundable ticket to the dark side of straighthood, and I tangoed with one of the biggest cunt haters of all time. I'm talking about my next Vag badge, and her name was Lithium. It's funny how the space of time gives you perspective. You look at everything differently than you used to, even with total D-bags like Fat Matt. I can now see him as a human and not just the villain of my childhood storyline. That being said, looking back at this particular time in life, I can confidently say that Lithium was a total cunt. I'm also willing to bet that she, to this very day, is a ripe old cunt. Bless her cunty heart. Love and light, you big cunt. Friendly's was a shit job, and so it had a revolving cast of co-workers. Lithium became my new grill partner, and we soon became hangout buddies, and she would come over to the attic apartment to smoke out after work. Fun! She was friends with Willow already, so at first, there was nothing weird about this. Until, soon enough, Lithium started having me hang out with her alone a lot. We went rollerblading together, out to eat together, out for drinks together, we went on a goddamn camping trip together. I mean... It's no surprise all this was really pissing off Willow and driving a huge wedge between us. I was a total idiot and was like, "What? We're just friends. Oh my god." That's my straight guy impression. And we really were. I didn't cheat on Willow physically, but come on, this was for sure emotional adultery. Lithium started fertilizing the seeds of doubt that I already had in my mind. She was like the miracle grow that helped feed all my fears and insecurities to grow like a chia pet. Cha-cha-cha-chia! She used to regularly say things to me like, "You're too young to live this life. She isn't your baby. None of this is your problem. I'm gonna be a doctor and a lawyer by the time I'm 23. Okay, that last one isn't even possible. That was a missed red flag. Lithium helped me with the whole pack all my stuff and leave a note on the table plan. She was there with me the day I left. There with me while I dropped off baby girl for the last time. She was there helping me pack up the car and leave my note. She even helped me find a place to stay and everything. If there were such thing as a breakup agent, she definitely would have been mine. And she was a secret double agent too, because after I left, she would go hang out with Willow and act like she had no idea where I was. She totally knew where I was. After leaving Willow, Lithium and I were best friends, as she positioned herself to be the supporter, helper, shoulder to cry on.
That's what friends are for.
We both quit Friendlies and got a job working together, and I rented a basement apartment from one of Lithium's friends. A super cute one bedroom with wall-to-wall pink carpet. After only about a month of having my new apartment, new job, we were like, "Ooh, I like you. Ooh, I like you too. But we both agreed that it's too soon after Willow." Wow, we were so mature. So then Lithium set her and her mom's car on fire. Wait, what? Oh yeah, you heard me. Allegedly, Lithium set her and her mom's car ablaze. Yeah, it was just as random as it sounds. I didn't get it either. Her inconsolable moment of her car being on fire turned into us kissing and becoming boyfriend and girlfriend. "But weren't you gay?" Yeah. Gay, whatever. This was all just more of my own sick-in-the-closet brainwashing. You see, to me, Lithium wasn't just a girl. She was the girl. The good-on-paper girl. On paper, she seemed like the quintessential, all-American, goody-goody, gap-wearing, preppy girl. And my ego was convinced if I could get her, that would complete my goal of the normal, all-American, man, Tom Cruise fantasy thing I was going for. "Yeah, but why did she set the cars on fire?" Look, nobody knows, okay? She tried to blame it on some poor black kid that lived down the street from her, but as time and a police investigation went by, there was literally zero evidence of that, and all things kinda seemed to point to Lithium.
Oh, Jesus.
All I remember about the burning car situation is Lithium waking me up, pounding on my door at 6 a.m. crying, "He blew up the cars! He blew up our cars!" Oh, wait, who? What?
I gave this kid a ride home and he wanted to hang out and I told him no, and then after I got home, our cars were on fire!
What? Oh, I'm sorry, I just feel like there's a lot of details missing from this story. Oh well, let's make out. I'm straight. So there I was, balls deep in another relationship with Lithium. She was of the preppy yuppie kids in high school, and as a middle-class neutral player in high school, a part of me wanted to conquer her to prove I was worthy or equal or some other ego horseshit idea. I thought if I could get in with that crowd, then it would be an even better piece of proof I wasn't gay. Proof! Oh, that's way better than a baby. You see, me and Willow together were white trash straight, but me and Lithium together would be fancy right side of the track straight. Oh my god, dude, you are totally fucking nuts.
I know!
Once we were together, she had me in the palm of her hand, and I obeyed like a well-trained straight guy.
Girls!
She made me wait forever to have sex with her, and at 18, 19 years old, I was always so horny. It was not about gay or straight for me. It was about pumping my cock and dumping a load.
So romantic.
Hey, a warm wet hole is a warm wet hole. And that's probably the straightest, rapiest thing I've ever said. Lithium lied to me more than I even know about. She lied about being a virgin, she lied about fucking her friend's cousin Sean. Ew. She was like a bad flu that took me 2 years to get rid of. The first year we were happily together, the second year we broke up over and over and over. Oh god, this is some straight people bullshit. But before the year of multiple breakups, our first year together, I decided to enlist in the United States Navy. Oh god, what are you doing? Oh, and I also asked Lithium to marry me. I think it's clear that I really needed medication. Cut to September 11th, 2001.
Never heard of it.
Just kidding. Always remember, never forget.
My memory of 9/11 goes hand in hand with my memory of Lithium because they both were terrorists and they both mindfuck brainwashed me. People will ask me what drove me to want to join the Navy, and it sounds silly, but it really all comes down to stupid September 11th.
God bless their souls.
The morning of 9/11, I was working for Fat Matt, driving methadone addicts, dialysis patients, and the occasional airport run. I was parked in New Bedford, waiting for some lady to come down from her apartment to take her to the airport. I was listening to Jammin' 94.5 on the radio. It was a hip-hop station, which I wasn't that into, but I liked the morning show Balthazar and Pebbles. They were really stupid and super inappropriate, which is all I'm ever looking for in a fun time. As I waited for the airport lady to come down, they reported on the radio that a plane had just hit the World Trade Center. I immediately thought to myself, what the fuck is a World Trade Center? That was my first authentic response to the news. I didn't even know what the hell it was. I mean, I had heard the words before, World Trade Center, but to me they just translated to boring, and so I never followed up on what it was. Being a morning comedy radio show, nobody really took it seriously at first. Everyone thought it was a small passenger plane, so they started joking about drunk pilots landing on the roof. Ha 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 ha, jokes are funny, oh my gosh! And then there was a long pause and they said, wait a minute, we're being told this is serious and another plane has hit the other tower.
Other tower? Two towers? What the fuck is this World Trade Center and why are there two towers?
I thought the two towers was like a Lord of the Rings thing. Fat Matt's booming voice came over the radio.
Base to car 4, Tommy!
Oh god, what does he want?
Bring the car back to the office!
Oh, what the fuck's going on? When I got back to the office, all eyes were glued to the television and I joined in on what everyone else in the country had been watching. The buildings on fire, planes crashing into it, explosions, people jumping from the building, controlled demolition, buildings collapsing. And all of that was played on a non-stop 24-hour loop. It was horrible. We watched it all day at the office and I ate way too many donuts, but I thought, fuck, this could be the end of the world, so I might as well eat up. I went home to my pink apartment and just kept watching it blow up and collapse, blow up and collapse, blow up and collapse, all while I just sat there and smoked the fuck out of my green plastic bong. The footage continued for a couple days as every idiot in America tried to figure out what the difference between India and Pakistan was.
They're different places. Wow, okay.
A creepy, quiet somberness was everywhere, and it was just one of the strangest times in life. Immediately, everyone was swept up into a mass swelling of American patriotic pride, and we became united with anger and hate towards terrorism. And I gotta be honest here and say that everyone also became furious and vengeful towards anyone or anything to do with the Middle East. Sorry, it's true. America's racist! Up until that point in my life, terrorism was something that just lived in amazing movies like Die Hard. And I had no idea that it was now the defining marker of a war that was about to start.
And I'm proud to be an American!
Ugh, gross. 2 weeks after 9/11, I was sitting in the Navy recruiter's office ready to sign up and ship out.
In the Navy!
Oh boy. A number of things had driven me to that insane decision. Number one, my mom,
Christine,
kept telling me there was gonna be a draft, and if I was smart, I would enlist so that I could choose my branch.
You don't want to be on the front lines, Tommy.
Front lines? Oh, great, now I'm scared. Number two, brainwashing. The loop of footage on TV got me and the rest of the country defensive and protective over America. Everyone up on our high horse of patriotism.
Nobody fucks with America!
I mean, for fuck's sake, every car in town tied a goddamn American flag to it. That's some Stepford Wives shit. Number three, I felt like a complete and total loser. I mean, everyone else I just graduated with was now in college, and I felt like this was the perfect ticket out of Wareham. Well, this or a body bag. Number four, military? Fighting in a war? This would for sure seal the deal of being a straight guy.
Straight!
I chose the Navy because if it looks like a queer and acts like a queer, then chances are the queer's in the Navy.
Freedom isn't free, bitch.
So, I enlisted.
In the Navy!
Alright, we get it. Signed all the papers, took all the tests. I spent nights in Boston at hotels to do all the testing. They put you up in a Holiday Inn with every young guy joining the Navy, the Marines, the Army, all of them. It was in the hotel I remember being in a room with 10 guys all watching the war on TV. And the explosion of angry testosterone was intensely terrifying. Guys yelling at the TV how they couldn't wait to go blow some terrorist head off. Lots of racist slurs were flying around that hotel room, and the whole thing just felt like a major red flag.
Uh-oh, I think I'm in the wrong place.
I was in the processing center where they do all the fingerprinting, blood tests, and raising your hand up with 25 strangers to take an oath. And I did it all. I was officially enlisted in the Navy. But I really sucked at math to the point that I failed that part of the written test, so I had to be put on delayed deployment until I could not be so stupid with basic numbers.
Me.
I did it though. I studied, I took the test again, I passed. Except that time, despite passing the math test, on the morning of shipping out to boot camp, I totally failed the drug test.
Oops-a-daisy.
Again, I was given another chance, another few months to get my shit together. God, these guys will take anyone. And I did. I quit smoking pot. I ran 4 miles a day. I even randomly decided one night to ask Lithium to marry me. Oh yeah, for reals. I dug a paperclip out of the kitchen drawer, molded it into the worst ring ever, and I got down on one knee in the middle of the night down at Cape Cod Canal. Ugh, God, you're disgusting. Hey, I was joining the Navy, being a straight guy, and I was sealing the straight guy deal, you guys.
Me!
Will you marry me?
Here's a paperclip I found. And the idiot actually said yes. What a moron. Then, about a week before my second real ship-out date to boot camp, I woke up one morning and knew that every single thing I was doing was wrong. I don't know what it was, but I could just feel it in my bones that this was all not right. I didn't have a nightmare or like a super spiritual moment with my guardian angel. I just woke up and every part of my body and soul was telling me one simple word. No. As you can imagine, the government doesn't like when you've signed up, sworn an oath, all to just back out in the end and say,
oh, sorry, just kidding, me.
I was petrified of going and even more petrified of not being able to get out of it. I mean, I signed a contract. I took the oath. I have a ship out date. How the fuck am I gonna get out of this? I tried avoiding their calls and hiding for a while, and then they hunted me down and told me the insane amount of trouble I could get in for eluding them. So I did what anyone else with artistic integrity would have done. I lied. I fake killed my father, duh.
Wait, wait, wait. You lied about your father dying?
Yeah, I did. Get over it, you big baby. Now, before you judge me, which you already have, so whatever, but I justified it to myself because I barely knew my dad at the time. We met when I was 12, for God's sake, and we had a couple years of random contact, and then he took off to California. He felt more like an estranged uncle I met a couple times and exchanged a few emails with. My whole childhood, I knew there was a mysterious man out there that was my father, and I knew he wasn't with me, so it was also kind of cathartic to kill my dad.
Me.
And hey, I know, I get it. You shouldn't fake the death of your parents, or people you know and love, or anybody. What I really learned here was that if anything, you should fake the death of relatives that are already dead, and that way there's nothing bad you're putting out to the universe. But I was a rookie liar back then, so I told them my dad died. And even after I told them, they really tried to keep the tip in. They were super sensitive, but super sensitively tried to get me to stay. So I told more lies and told them that I was getting a bunch of money and that I was gonna go to college instead.
I'm a liar! Lies, 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 lies.
Look, I've had a lot of time sitting with the universe for a lot of things I've done. Things I've lied about, shady shit I've done, things I've said, things I've written. So don't worry about me. I'm good, girl. But really, it just shows you how scared I was of being gay. I mean, at the time, this was when you were straight up not allowed to be gay in the military. All I really ever had to do to get out of the Navy was tell them the truth, that I was gay, and they would have sent me home no problem.
Get out of here.
'Kay, bye.
But I couldn't. That was not even an option for me. There was no way I could say those words to them, in front of them, out loud, even if it would get me out. So I went with an absolute utter lie. My dad died, and it totally worked. They were really pissed off. But hey, I was free. I did it. I broke up with the United States Navy. America. Fuck yeah. Now I was free to go and do whatever I wanted with my life. Yay! And then Lithium got pregnant.
Fuck.
Fuck, 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 fuck. That was the only feeling that ran from my head to my toe and through my entire existence when I heard,
I'm pregnant.
Knowing that I was going to be permanently attached to this mega bitch for the rest of my life was the worst crushing feeling in the world. Right after breaking free from the Navy, I had signed up for a one-month acting workshop in New York City, and I felt like I was just starting to get going with what I wanted in life. I dumped the Navy, I was about to go to New York fucking city, but Lithium and her stupid pregnancy were ruining it.
I'm pregnant.
Yeah, I heard you.
Lithium told me she had stopped taking her birth control pill because it was too expensive.
Ugh. Bitch, learn to budget!
She told me on the phone, and I instantly did not believe her. We had just broken up, and all I could think was that this was a desperate attempt to stay together and that she was lying. So, I loaded her up in the car and took her down to good old Toby Hospital in Wareham. And they confirmed that she was indeed pregnant.
Fuck.
We waited at the hospital forever, and how dumb it must have seemed to all of the staff to have these two idiots in the emergency room for a pregnancy test.
What's your emergency?
She says she's pregnant, and I don't believe her.
Right this way, sir.
Finally, the pee test results came in, and they brought her into a room while I waited in another. Eventually, a nurse came in and told me that she was totally pregnant.
Fuck.
I was cool. I mean, inside I was dying and screaming, but I didn't make a big hospital scene. I'd gone down there for the truth, and I got it.
Fuck.
This part of my life is blurred, and that never happens. My crazy brain remembers everything. I felt depleted, beaten, like life was over. All my dreams for the future were ruined, done, gone. I woke up every day and I cried and cried and cried in the shower, begging and pleading with the universe to please, 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 please. I would go outside and scream into the emptiness of the air to please help me. I mean, seriously, it's like I got down on my knees and told God I would suck him off, bottom, whatever he she wants. Well, it's like they say, ask and you shall receive. Because what happened next was nothing short of a fucking Christmas miracle. It could have been all my praying, or it could have been what was meant to happen the whole time, but God slash the universe slash whatever you believe in decided Lithium didn't need a fertilized egg inside her. Hi, I'm a miscarriage.
Hi, miscarriage!
Oh, stop it. Don't feel bad for her, and I'll tell you why. Less than a year before our pregnancy situation, Lithium had lied to her job, lied to them, and said she was having a miscarriage when she wasn't even pregnant. I think she got like a week off or a weekend off, but yeah. I'm just saying, this was a karma wrinkle working itself out. So nobody shed a tear for the baby that would have ruined everything. To this day, to this very second, I am so grateful, so thankful, because I know people usually don't get this lucky. I don't know if it was luck, or if it were the powers that be that didn't want me to take that path, or live that life, or whatever. I am so deeply grateful and thankful for the break that I was given. I mean, to be able to get a reset on my life, a clean slate, a second take, was such an amazing once-in-a-lifetime chance. I wish I could say we broke up immediately, but we dragged it out for what felt like forever. I fell right into her game of guilt and pity. She wanted to have the baby so bad, and I had to conceal my giddy joy that the zygote was gone. On the outside, I played sad for her, but on the inside, I felt absolutely victorious. I literally went outside, threw my hands in the air, and screamed, "Thank you, thank you, thank you!" And I still went to New York City for my 5-week workshop, so take that, stupid lithium. I lived at the 92nd Street Y, and my roommate was Frank from Ireland. Lithium ambushed my trip around week 3, and she made her way into me and Frank's dorm room and fucked me with Frank in the room and fought with me and Frank in the room. Ugh, poor Irish Frank. But hey, I was really crushing the straight guy lifestyle. Me. Our fights were horrible, loud, cutthroat mean, never-ending, and always the same. Ugh, being straight really sucks. I used to break up with her, kick her out of my place, and then sure enough, 20 minutes later, she would show up with a pizza at my window. I would be in my room, "Oh my god, that bitch, I'm so happy I made her leave. Man, she's crazy, I hate her." All of a sudden, Lithium taps on the window.
"I can hear everything you're saying. Also, I brought a pizza."
Bring the goddamn pizza inside.
"Look, I'm easily convinced about anything if food is involved."
Here are 8 final fun facts about Lithium that I remembered and couldn't figure out where to put in this story, so I'm just dumping it out here and hoping it disappears from my overstocked brain.
1.
She one time redecorated my room while I went somewhere for the weekend, and when I returned, she had painted everything blue and rearranged all the furniture. I nearly lost my fucking mind. You are not a producer for Trading Spaces. Ugh! 2. She drove like a fucking maniac. I always had at least 600 panic attacks because she drove a million miles an hour while putting on makeup, changing the radio, talking on the phone, packing a bowl, typing a letter, and smoking a joint all at the same time. Just drive the car, you stupid bitch!
3.
She ate Ritz crackers with cream cheese and milk like, ugh, 1950 called and they want their snacks back.
4.
Her mom had the ugliest, and I mean the ugliest, couch covers and matching curtains I've ever seen in my life. It was conservative floral vomit galore. Ugliest living room ever.
5.
She moved in with me several times despite never getting permission from Auntie Patty. It was one of those things where I'd be like, why are you still here?
"I have nowhere to go."
"Yeah, so?"
"Okay, I'll leave tomorrow."
1 week later, "What the fuck, you're still here?"
"Yeah, but I brought a pizza."
6. She was determined that I fuck her in every room at her mom's house. We fucked in her mom's bed, fucked in her sister's bed, fucked on the washer, fucked on the dryer, fucked on the staircase. I mean, this bitch had it out for her family.
7.
Her mom accused me of writing cunt on her brand new fence. I don't recall if I did, but totally sounds like me.
8.
We worked for her dad painting houses. One time we stole $600, and another time we had sex in every room of this person's house. Man, this girl likes to fuck. And mid-fuck, we thought someone came in, and so we ran outside to hide. Well, turns out nobody came in, and then we were just stuck outside in our underwear.
Haha!
What did I even like about Lithium? Your guess is as good as mine. I liked her dad. I got high with him a lot. Besides, what I think I really liked here was the sick fantasy of her being the perfect beard. Although, in the name of truth and fairness and silver linings, I liked her silliness. We were always more of a comedy duo than we ever were a couple. I mean, we named her tits Fettuccine and Alfredo, for fuck's sake. We also named our private areas. I want to say hers was named Linda and mine was maybe Snuffleupagus. Although I'm circumcised, so I'm not sure why that was my name, but whatevs. She used to fall into a character and not break. Fully commit, and I am totally into that kind of shit. Oh, you're gonna pretend to be a crazy Russian lady while we check out at the grocery store? Yes, please. She loved smoking weed. Yes, please. And she loved eating junk food and watching Sex and the City marathons. Yes, yes, please. Let's have some locker room talk, though. Her pussy, however, was not that fun. More like a library. Quiet and not a great time. I gave it one bad lick and I was done. She gave me no direction and just laid there like a corpse. Side note, nobody wants to eat out a corpse. Her pussy smelled like BO, for sure. But hey, that's a hell of a lot better than the Pizza Hut onion vagina. Oh, and a quick announcement for men. Hey men! Men! Listen up! You don't get off easy here with the smelly private areas, okay? You think balls are innocent? Gentlemen, nobody wants to go down on a jar of pickles. So keep them balls fresh. With fresh balls! My haunted roller coaster ride with Lithium ended just a few months before I headed off to the Not Real College Acting Conservatory. I had started working at Friendly's again because I didn't totally burn the bridge the first time. Don't worry, I took care of business the second time. And one day, the cops came into the restaurant and served me restraining order papers in front of everyone. I felt like such a real Wareham straight dude. I made it! Lithium put a restraining order on me with a fabricated story about me hurting her arm and slamming her leg in the door. Now, for the record, I did slam a door while she was breaking and entering, which she turned into her being a battered wife. Yeah, 'cause hitting and punching sounds like me. I think it's pretty clear at this point that I'm not a physical person.
I don't like to sweat.
I am hardcore into verbal abuse. I don't want to punch you. I want to cut you down and make you cry. Hello? Except that one time in fourth grade when I punched Jimmy Dargan in the face like 6 times on the bus because he kept calling me a girl and was just being a dick to me day after day after day. So I totally lost it on him, and then I had to sit in the front of the bus. And then I wasn't allowed on the bus. Me. Anyway, back to court with Lithium. I was scared going into this court situation because I knew that I was a guy with allegations of physically hurting my girlfriend, and chances of people believing me were slim. I lawyered up thanks to a sponsorship from Monty Patty, and I had Mr. Big Shot Lawyer with me. I had a real deal deposition, deposition from witnesses. I had as many ducks in a row as I possibly could. And I hate to be a sexist fuck, but when the judge came out and I saw it was a woman, I thought I was instantly going to be fucked hard. And then somehow, I was proved wrong, and the judge saw right through Lithium's bullshit story, and she reversed the restraining order on me and put it on her for a year.
What?
Wow! Judge. And where are these bruises you claim to have, Miss Lithium? Lithium.
They were on my arm, but they just went away yesterday.
Judge. And you didn't think to take any pictures of them? Lithium.
No, I was too upset, Your Honor.
Judge.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm taking this restraining order off you, sir, and placing it on you, Miss Lithium. Case dismissed. Ha 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 ha.
And that was the end of Lithium.
Why? Why would I endure all of this bullshit just so that people would think I was straight or normal or whatever? Ugh! That, to me, is the craziest part of all this. It infuriates me, and it's my own life.
God, I don't know why, but basically, I had written a narrative in my mind. I had written my life story before my life had even started. Every part of our society had shown me what success was and what being a man meant, and I was trying to construct a version of that that I thought would get the attention and approval from my mother and father and even stupid Fat Matt. What a huge waste of time, and not to mention, fuck all those losers. I was finally, truly free from Lithium. I was getting ready to move to New York City, and I was beyond excited to have a chance to start over. I told myself to not ever get involved with girls because fuck that. I'm an actor now, and I'm going to study my craft. Of course, I didn't listen to my own advice, and we all know the tangled web I wove while in New York. I was still trying to be super straight, even though I was also off on my Craigslist adventures. God, I was busy. Sure enough, I ended up fucking the dorm slut a few times. Me. I also would flirt with girls all the time. Me. And none of this served me well because before I knew it, I would have drunk girls in my dorm room wanting to have a three-way. They would take out their tits and they would make out with each other and I couldn't care less. Excuse me, could you take your pussy off my bed? Thanks.
You did it! Yay! Thanks for listening to Chapter 17, Vag Monologues, Part 2, Tango with a Cunt. And welcome to the Weed Cap. I'm Tommy Natoli here in Los Angeles, and man, I'm happy that chapter's over. Whew. I think that was a tough one for everyone to get through. I mean, honestly, halfway through producing it, I wished we could just do the Bob the Diddler chapter again. So, anyway, I'm really excited that we all made it through, and we're now in the clear, and we made it to the Weed Cap! Yay! Today is a fantastic show because we are literally phoning it in. I'm gonna pretend it's the 90s again and chat on the phone with my friends, most who actually knew Lithium and were witnesses to her cuntitude. The amazingly hilarious Wacky Jackie will be calling me, and man, she has some great memories of Lithium that you're not gonna wanna miss. Also on the show today, as always, is the best hair in podcasting, Michelle with a 1L. She didn't know Lithium in real life, but after this chapter, she hates her. A lot. Michelle with 1L is calling me. And my headlining phone call today is from the one and only, fabulous as ever, K
Kate! Exclamation. Who was a guest back on episode number 13, Rest Stop Revelations, mumba. And she's back on today sharing some of her first-hand experiences with the cunt we all love to hate. Oh no, we don't love to hate, we just hate to hate. Lithium! So make yourself a drink or roll a joint or do whatever you have to do to keep yourself buckled, because we are just getting started right now.
Okay, there we go. I did it. Yay!
Yay! Yay, you!
Yay! Slutty correspondent Wacky Jackie's back!
Yes. I am.
All right.
I am in a weird state of being right now because I just finished listening to chapter 17. That shit's intense.
It's a lot. God. I'm honestly so glad it's over because it was like reliving it all over again. I was like, get me out of here. 27 minutes? Jesus Christ.
Now, did you have the same reaction to like reliving it as I'm having right now? As soon as I got done listening to it, I don't know if you saw my message, but I was like, I need to make myself a drink first.
Like, I now, didn't see your message.
Yeah, I'm not the same person entering, listening to chapter 17 as I am, like, on the other side. I've definitely been changed.
You're a new wacky.
Yeah, but one thing remains the same, though, is that I 100% agree with, I guess, the general theme of this episode, which is lithium is a cunt that should not be given any kind of sympathy at any point in time, ever, for any reason.
Yes, thank you. That's really, yes, that is exactly the theme that I wanted to get across here. My whole thing going into this was like, how do I maintain her cunt integrity here?
Yeah, because one, you know, a lot of decent-hearted people might, like, at times be like, that's awful, but, like, no, like, in a normal situation, absolutely. Some of this is just terrible, but she is an awful, awful human being. Like, I don't think we could even characterize her as a human being. Maybe she's, like, kind of, like, a Sith or some kind of, like, I don't know, cyborg or something like that, set to cunt. And, like, I don't know.
She must be definitely some kind of, like, alien robot sent here to, like, test us, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we're passing or failing. I just don't know. But it's just to wreak havoc. I don't even know if it knows.
I'm just happy that it's not. I'm just happy I'm out of it.
Yeah, I know. It just, like, talking about cooking on the grill with her. So when I worked there, because she had been trained on the grill before I even got there. She wanted more weight shifts, and I annoyed the crap out of her. It's like, acted really strange, so I scared her off the grill, because I was either wanting to work with you or solo, so it was either I worked with you or by myself.
Right.
I made, like, I think she was a vegetarian, and I made, like, a weird piece of, like, grilled chicken speak by putting the spatula underneath it. And then I yelled at it to shut up, and I cut off the piece that I was trying to demonstrate as its head, and then just threw the cover on top of it, and she complained to Frank about it, which he told her to stop being such a brat. And then she just
refused
to do any grill shifts with me. So my mission was accomplished.
Oh, that's fantastic. She was such a whiny, complainy, like, goody-goody, like, I'm going to tell on you kind of person.
But she wasn't a goody-goody. She was pure, raw evil inside. But
yeah, absolutely.
She just wanted to project that. But yeah, I like that you definitely included the fact that she had an awesome dad, and I wonder, like, what the fuck happened? Because, like, the rest of her family was always really nice to all of us. Like, you know,
she would
come up to the grill and be like, hey, can you hook it up? It's for my dad. So I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll give him all the free food he wants. I'm like, does he want, like, the spatula? Does he want, like, this full draw of cheese? I'll give it to him because he's that awesome.
Yeah, the dad was cool. You know, yeah, I think, I don't know if it was, like, a major, like, attention issue she had. I mean, the mom was kind of like, eh, but overall, like, somehow.
Yeah, I don't remember the mom too much. But she just instinctually hated my roommate, Band Geek, and she was always really mean to her. She complained about her. What was it with the Parcheesi set? Because Band Geek played on the Parcheesi set, she, like, was banned from it, so we had to buy a separate Parcheesi so Band Geek could play it. She was just really,
really
stupid about. Oh yeah, she, like, lost her shit when she found out that we went to the attic apartment and Band Geek played Parcheesi. She was not allowed to play on Lithium's Parcheesi set. Yeah. She was such a royal cunt to Bianchi so much that after we didn't work at Friendly's anymore, we went there. Bianchi, Ika, and I went there, and we sat in Bissy's section, and Bissy was going to hook us up, but I think Lithium at that point was one of the shift supervisors, so she put the kibosh on it. And it really annoyed me because I'm like, yo, like, I used to give you and your family free food all the time, and now you're going to do this because I'm, like, here with Bean Geek, and you're flexing your muscles. That was so dumb. So towards the end, and we found out at the end, we had money to pay, but it's, you know, when you're poor, like, when you get free shit, that's awesome. And
totally,
we didn't, like, take advantage. We didn't over-order. So I went to go to the bathroom, and while I was in the bathroom, and then I stopped to talk to somebody else. I forget who exactly I was talking to for a few minutes, but Bean Geek, I have a job as a cake decorator, and she was really, really good at it.
Yeah.
So her and Ika gathered up all the sugar packets, and she would tear the corner off the sugar packet and wrote in huge letters across the table that we were sitting at that was towards the front of the restaurant. So it was one of those ones you had to pass to get to the back section and everywhere else and go to the bathroom and stuff. Huge letters all in sugar all over this table that said Lithium's full name. Is a cunt. Huge, huge, perfect, like, print letters. So once I got to the table, I looked out, I said, we need to get the fuck out of here, like, right now. So we paid, we left, and as I, you know, everybody's in my car, I'm driving my piece of shit Saab, so I go to leave, like, the back way, because that's the easiest way to leave. She sees me leaving. She runs out the back door and chases after my car as Ika throws the trash that's in my car at her. It was fucking glorious.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I almost stopped the car, but I'm glad I didn't because at that point inside, I'm like, what was she really going to do? Like, was she going to fight me? And, like, I thought, you guys don't know what I look like, but especially back then, I was very tomboyish, and I was not someone to fuck with, so I probably would have gotten in major trouble. She totally would have sued me and, you know, press charges and shit like that. And, you know, I just kept going, thank goodness. But, yeah, it was glorious. She was fucking fuming.
Oh, that is glorious.
She was screaming and muttering. Yeah, I couldn't even understand what she was saying. She was just like, you know when you get in a rage and you just yell shit and you don't even know what you're saying? Yeah, it was that.
Yeah, you're just like enraged and having a tantrum.
Yeah, she was so awful. I remember when I found out that you guys were together and you guys were engaged, like, Biggie told me right in front of a cash mart downtown Onset we were living, and I yelled fuck off so loud that, like, basically everything stopped for a second. Like, what is going on right now? Like, I was like, this can't be real. This cannot be real.
I know.
Like, it was, I ran into Willow later, and she confirmed that. That was indeed true. I was like, no, no. It was worse if I didn't know there's no Santa.
God, the Wareham drama is ridiculous.
Oh, it was fucking off the chain. I also appreciated the fact that when shit was blowing up on 9/11, you and I, even though we weren't together, we were doing the same thing, freaking the fuck out and just, like, inhaling massive amounts of bong hits, because it's like, what else do you do?
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad we were both doing the same, because, like, what else were you going to do? That's all I did, and, like, you were just so sucked in by it, you know?
Yeah, and then I had to go to a fucking job interview in the afternoon, so I went, like, just ripped out of my mind, but they thought it was just because of the day, because they were all like, what the hell? So they, you know, who was interviewing me was like, I'm sorry, I'm having a difficult time interviewing you because of, and I'm like, no, no problem, my office is going to get canceled. And since I was so cool about it, they hired me without really doing a proper interview, so that only worked in my favor.
See, you got a blessing out of 9/11.
Yeah, and then the first time they met me was, like, post, like, a plethora of bong hits, so anytime it showed up, like, stoned, it was, like, normal. So it was kind of like I had to obligatory smoke, because the couple times that I didn't go in high, they're like, you were right, you look different.
I love that. I'm so shocked at, like, I had no idea that Lithium had such a problem with Band Geek, because, really?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, is Band Geek so not, like, I don't know.
Band Geek has an edge. She's pretty chill with everybody. Like, because we have been friends for so long. She's got blonde hair. I got the dark hair. I'm like, you know, assertive and stuff, and she's all meek and stuff. But seriously, when you piss her off, she can be, her words can be very pointed. We've gotten in, like one time at Friendly's, we got in a really big fight because she became a manager and she let it go to her head. And
I remember that.
Yeah, she was a big dork in high school, and I was kind of a different kid. I was just a weird kid. So I wasn't really a dork. I wasn't picked on as much as her. So she was always like, she still played that hierarchy in her head. So a lot of the people that we worked with, she went to high school with, so she couldn't control them. So she tried to control me because I was her friend. And, you know, I tried to, like, I did a good job at work eventually.
Yeah.
And I would try to do extra well when she worked to help her look good. And then she would come down on me. And I remember that stupid waitress, Tiffany. She was just, we were really slammed and short. And she was just, like, wandering around.
I remember her, yes.
Oh, man, it was pissing me off. So I said to Banky a couple times, I was like, look at her, you know. And then eventually I was like, are you going to do something? And then out in the dining room, I was like, look, I know you're the boss, but you need to get out of this booth, stop smoking butts, and do something about the situation back then. And she got she told me, she's like, you get back to your grill. I'm like, oh, it's funny you could talk to me like that. You see, it went on all night. At one point in time, while she was standing, she was talking to somebody, like a customer, she was standing there, and I snuck up behind her, and I whispered, like, something totally fucked up in her ear to piss her off while she's trying to be all, like, friendly and hospitable. And she was like, yelling at me in front of people, so I threw a mop at her, and I broke that big stand-up freezer because I launched a mop at it. It was really good. I couldn't throw javelin to save my life, but that mop was like a fucking spear of glory. Yeah.
And then the Parcheesi game with her. So was lithium, she was like a regular in our debauchery nights? Because I don't remember her.
She was like, she would hang out before it really got debauched, where everybody was cramming in there. So, like,
didn't she used to, like, say drug-free? She was, like, not smoke weed and be like, I'm drug-free and proud.
Yes.
That's the only thing I remember.
She was super, like, drug-free and stuff like that. She would go, because it's so funny because her and Willow were, like, pal. She was, like, they would talk in English accents together. They were, like, you know, like, ride or die hoes. So it was, like, really interesting and not surprising at all to listen to you describe. You know, because I remember you guys did hang out, like, solo. Because I'm a bitch that don't trust nobody, and I'm just happy as fuck. So I'm like, you know, I wouldn't trust her. Tommy's cool, but that chick's got motives. So.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of time before, especially you're like, well, I really don't know where the relationship's going. It's like, it must be going nowhere. What? Yeah, what? Oh, so you were just saying, I guess your relationship's not really going anywhere. Yeah, I guess it's not. You know, she's so...
I know, it's pretty, like, writing that, like, it was crazy to me to think of, like, to hear myself explaining all that stuff, and for me to be like, how was I so stupid? Like,
How old were you? Well, like, 18, 19?
18 years old, yeah.
Yeah, you don't know what the fuck is going on in life until at least 25.
Seriously,
you know?
I know.
So, and even then, it's a little dicey. It's like kind of, you just start, like when you first wake up in the morning, at least I'm not fully alert. So at 25, you're like waking up. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and then.
Totally, yeah.
You know, so, hey, sarah, sarah, you know.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you so much for your, do you have any other, lithium tidbits before I release you?
Oh, I don't know. It's just I never really completely liked her, especially because she was so mean to Van Geek. But I kind of just, I'm good about being political and just kind of not being fake, but just getting by because of, like, again, like, Willow was friends with her, you were friends with her, people that I like were friends with her, and I did really appreciate the fact, at least, I don't think she was completely straight edge. I think she lied and just was like straight edge around us. And therefore, she didn't really hang out when we were being all crazy and drunk and, you know, high as fuck in the attic apartment, you know. But, yeah, that Parcheesi shit was really, really dumb. I posted to her about it. I'm like you're so, somebody played your Parcheesi game and now it's like basically you want her to pay for it and buy a new one because she touched it. Like, so you don't want to get her touch. Like, did you call black magic? Did you have your fingers crossed? Like, what? That's some fucking inside bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, and she just didn't talk to me for 2 weeks, which was not a punishment. So.
Yeah, blessings.
Yeah, it was. I was like, I'm like, damn. I'm like, I need to tell this bitch off more often.
The bonus question of the day is, what do you think, where do you think she is nowadays?
Oh, my God. Oh, the bonus question. whatever situation she's in. So, like, it's kind of like could be 50-50 split. She's either probably a CEO of some company because, as we all know, CEOs need to be sociopaths to be successful. So she's probably, like, really successful in that way and has tricked some sweet, like, man, animal, mineral, vegetable, whatever, into, like, got them into some kind of, like, situation that they can't completely get out of, and she's totally got them under her thumb. Or she's just fucking running loose, possibly smoking crystal meth, tearing up the highway. So either her life
it's 50-50.
Is successful off of somebody's back, or she's totally fucking it up.
I agree with you 100%.
It's one of those two. There's nothing in the middle.
And I don't even care enough to follow through with, like, a Facebook stalk. I won't even, I don't even care. Who cares?
No, because I get, like, especially with somebody like that, I get paranoid that they could do, like, a reverse search of seeing who's looking for them, and then they could decide who I am. And then, like, I'll call attention to myself, and I do not want to get in that web.
I hear you. Yeah, absolutely. I hear you. Sorry, I almost choked. All right, my dear. That's it for today.
I was wondering what that was.
Yes. thank you so much for calling in and taking time out of your weekend again to chat with me.
It's always a pleasure calling in.
All right, dear. I love you. Thank you so much.
I love you, too. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Is this the best hair in podcasting?
Not today. It's windy.
I hear that wind. If you could get rid of that wind, that'd be great.
Okay. How about now?
Beautiful. How is that hair? Could we talk about the most important thing first?
No, I can't because I'm going to tell you why. It's too long. I thought that I was going to go long because I'm getting older and I thought, do I have to go and get my hair all cut off and, you know, get that bush old lady thing happening? Yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. So I thought, oh, let's grow it out. And now I pin it back like I'm 12 because my bangs get in my ass. They're not bangs. They're like longer hair in my face.
Well, you're probably just in that in-between space. I bet if you let it grow a little bit more, it will get to where you think what you were thinking of, you know?
No, I don't think so. I think that I'm going to go back and get it cut like I always do because I'm a creature of habit, and I think that Cher is the only one that can rock long hair at 80. Oh, are we going to talk about this chapter?
Yeah, we're talking about chapter 17, Batch Monologues Part 2, Tango with a Cunt.
Okay, but here's the thing. You know how I always love your chapters? This one bugged me because I don't like that girl.
You're not supposed to love this chapter. I just finished talking to Wacky Jackie and she had to have a drink after she had that, listen to that chapter.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it was really, you just want to punch that girl in the face.
And that's what I'm glad you have that feeling because that, you know, my intention
that's
here
what you're going
was
for?
To I wanted to showcase what a fucking cunt hater this was, you know?
Yeah, there is a special place in hell for people like her, for women like her.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Horrible.
Yuck, yuck, yuck. I quoted Madeleine Albright. That's where I got that quote. She said there's a special place in hell for women that don't help other women.
What part did you hate most about her?
Getting pregnant was kind of up there.
I know. I can't afford my pill. Really? You can afford to bring a pizza over every fucking day, but you can't afford the pill?
Oh, and the fact that she's ready to bring a baby into your dysfunctional mix. I don't know if she was jealous of Willow. Yeah.
Willow, yeah.
Yeah, she was jealous
of the baby.
She had a kid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, that's how to get Tommy.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, speaking of kid, one good thing about this chapter, I discovered if I ever do drag, I already have my drag name. You ready?
What is that? Yeah.
Miscarriage.
That, my friend, is brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, that is hilarious. Not everybody's going to think you're funny, but I will.
Well, I can't believe it was real. I can't believe, you know, in perspective, looking back, that, you know, like, that any of that was real. The Navy.
Why? Girls
or...
do it all the time. They do. They get pregnant like that all the time. Oh, he loves me. We're going to have a baby. And then the guy's like, what?
Right.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, so that happens all the time. Yeah, there's a club of those girls out there. And that's why they're cunt haters.
What else did I talk about in this thing? Oh, what's your 9/11 memory? Where were you when you...
When 9/11
happened?
What
do you remember doing? Yeah, what was your, you know...
I was in Reno, Nevada at Circus Circus on vacation with my third husband and all my children. I only had 6. I had 6 kids at the time. Right? And I was still reeling over the fact that I had found cocaine in my husband's pocket. He had his clothes on the floor when he was taking a shower, and me being OCD picked them up and cocaine fell out. And I was like, okay, we're on a family vacation. Really? And you're
doing both. Wow, that's great.
And I was so pissed. You know, and this is during my super, super fundamental Christian days.
Well, to be fair, if I was on vacation with 6 kids, I would need a bump of cocaine, too.
I didn't.
True.
I had it handled. And he had to do coke? Really? You know? So, for me...
That's crazy.
Well, yeah, and it just didn't seem real that 9/11 was even really happening because we're so far removed, not being near New York. But a friend
of mine
called...
What it was like, I was like, what's that? Two towers? What's that?
No, I knew about the Trade Center because I'm older than you, and we were asleep, and our friend called us and said, hey, we've been hit by terrorists. Turn on the news.
Right.
And so we turned on the news, and we were just like, wait, it was surreal. I mean, my marriage is falling apart. The Twin Towers get hit. It was just like terrorists everywhere.
Could you understand what I was talking about with the idea of being brainwashed at that time?
Yes, because I was a Republican at the time. And
oh, God, speaking of.
Yes, I know. You listen to Toby Keith, you know that song, "The Big Dog Will Bark When You Rattle His Cage." That, remember that song?
I have
we'll
no
stick
idea
a
what that
boot
is.
In your ass. It's the American way.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I only know the proud to be an American.
American. Yeah, where at least I know I'm free.
I'm free.
No, you have to listen to Toby Keith because that's the 9/11 song. That's about
Jesus. You
know, the Statue of Liberty got a black eye. And I just remember thinking, yeah, we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
Yeah, I was going to say, were you, like, on the bandwagon with everybody, you know? Like,
oh, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. America. Fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
How does that make you feel now? Yeah.
Because it wasn't a country that did this to us. It was just a bunch of guys that are crazy. You know?
Right.
I mean, we should have just went like we did with, you know, Obama and go and kill, what's his name again?
Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what we should have done in the first place. Not go to war with Afghanistan. Not go to war. We didn't do anything, but we wanted to kick somebody's ass so bad.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't care who it was. Australia? Fuck you! You know? I mean, that's where we were. That's where we were in our heads, and it didn't matter. And you put your flag on your car, and, you know, everybody looked at each other, and you listened to those songs, and you were just, you know, it made me sick to my stomach. Now it makes me sick to my stomach when I think about it. Because there were so, you know what, okay, all those people died at the World Trade Center. Horrible.
Yeah.
All those guys and gals that went to war died.
Yeah.
For what for? And then we get over there, and then, you know, Bush drops the ball. There was no reason. Yeah. We should have just, you know, these little terror cells and whatever. So, yeah, he was an idiot.
I know. Could you imagine? Can you picture me in that hotel room with all those military guys?
So, yeah, I can't imagine you, but I just can't believe you had to go through so much to get out of it. That's pretty funny. The length you'll go to.
I was so scared of those boys because it was very much like like you were just explaining, with like maybe they were huddled around the TV. It's when they broadcast like the bombing. Do you remember on TV?
24 hours a day, 7 days
and
a week.
They were like fucking cheering. Like we'd see an explosion and the cheers and the hoots and the hollers. And I was like, oh God. Oh God.
Hoorah!
Oh God, I'm scared.
Hoorah!
Yeah.
Yep. Everybody went out and got guns, and we would beat everybody up, and it was a terrible time for America, that's for sure. But, well, it's a terrible time now, too, but whatever.
Now, you've been married a lot.
Yeah. What's your point?
What would you do if someone presented you with a paperclip?
Yeah. No. I've always been about the diamonds, every single husband.
Why, who would say yes to that? Why would you, like, big problems?
How old? Was she?
We were both 19, I think.
Okay. Well, you know.
She was 20. I was 19. She was 20.
And a baby. Ugh, gross.
There was no baby yet. There was no baby.
No, well, still. But even after, so you gave her a paperclip and then she got pregnant? What was she
looking for? Yeah, I gave her a paperclip because I went to, well, I did get a real ring for the record after the paperclip because it was like $1,000. I had to get like a Sears credit card or something.
You got her a ring at Sears?
You know what?
That's funny.
I'm spoiling the next chapter because I do get engaged again to another girl. That ring was from Sears.
Oh my God, you are stupid. I know, right?
So straight. I know, for this all these chapters, these girl chapters, I'm like, God, for a gay guy, I sure do have a lot of pussy stories.
I know, you did. You did. You make straight guys look pretty stupid. Look, you really can't get pussy? Because I'm gay and I get pussy all the time.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
You need to up your act, man.
Yeah, step it up. I only have one more in the Vag trilogy, but it's like so much. Like, she was the worst part. You know, lithium was the gross, just gross, yucky, yucky time.
Well, yeah, I liked Willow. That was my problem. So I just was like, wait, you broke up with Willow to be with this awful cunt hater?
I know. Huge life lesson.
You're a terrible straight guy.
I'm going to give you a nice teaser for the next chapter. I do get back with Willow in chapter, in the final trilogy chapter.
Oh, my
Willow
gosh.
Willow appears again. Willow has a final appearance, a final performance, an encore, if you will, of Willow.
Oh, my goodness.
So
I did like her
that.
A lot.
Yeah,
I want to see what she looks like. I should see her on Facebook.
All right, my dear. I think that's all we have for the Weed Cat today. We have Wacky Jackie that's going to be on the show on the phone. We have Kate calling into the show today. It's going to be
nice. It's your harem.
Yes,
I love it.
Because both of those people have lithium stories to share of how, you know, just it's like having witness depositions. You know, I want to bring people in to confirm, like, you know, I'm not making this shit
she
up.
She really was. Yeah.
She really
it.
Was such
totally.
A cunt hater. Horrible.
God. Ugh, yuck, 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 yuck.
I know, it's over, yay!
Okay, I know, thank God. Because if you came over to my house and brought her to a barbecue, I would not be nice to her.
Oh, no, we'd all be mean to her. We'd all talk about her a lot.
All right, well, I hope you have a splendid rest of your day.
I hope you do, too, and I love you. I'll talk to you soon.
I love you, too. Bye!
Bye! Are you smoking a bowl? I'm packing a bowl.
Of course I'm smoking a bowl. I have
to. Oh, good. So what did we do? We listened to Chapter 17, Vag Moss, Part 2.
All about lithium. That's her name.
All about lithium.
Oh, God. That was a very interesting mind hole. I have not visited that point in the past in such a long time. Oh, man. That was a blast from the past, to quote good old Patty.
Yeah. You're telling me this to me is a very sloppy chapter because I honestly just wanted to be done with it. I needed to get out of there because I'm very, you know, when I do a chapter, I make a playlist for the year 2000. I want to get back in that state or whatever. And like when the floodgates opened up, I was like, oh my God, get me out of here.
I had that same, like, reaction. I actually wanted to prep. I was trying to be a really good guest, and I, like, got out my diary from then, and I was, like, reading, and I honestly closed it, and I went, no. I just put it back. I couldn't. I'm going to rely on my own memories of what is in there, and we're just going to see what comes up.
Wow, that's, I love that you have diaries. I did have diaries, but then I don't know if I talked about this yet, but there was like a, there was a big day in the cabin where I burned all my journals from like post 22 years old.
I should have. Looking back at this, I really don't even like myself. I'm surprised that I made it out of there alive. I am just an idiot, and that's all there is to it. And so self-centered, because honestly, I couldn't even wade through my own bullshit to pull out the parts that mattered. Like, going to court was a big event in my life, but there was so much bullshit around it, I just couldn't even get there, so.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. Did you hear the chapter before this, by any chance?
I did, so? Actually. I recognized that it was a trilogy, so I figured I needed to go back, and I like re-listened and got in the mode so I could, and it's a whole story and a half.
I know, and none of this was in the original Thomas Anonymous when I first gave it to Michelle to read. I mentioned Willow really quickly in one of the stories, and at the end she said, I need to know about these girls. I need to know what's going on. Like, you just name dropped real quick, and I want to know all about that. So this was...
And I need a whole book about it, because when you unpack it, there is so much in there that I had literally forgotten about. At least, like, I knew those things happened, but I was like, wow, yeah, just in quick succession, all that shit, like, bam, 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 bam.
Oh, shit, so you have to edit that out.
I know, it's so hard. That's who she is in my mind. She's just solidified as that cunt. And then, you don't say your name because you don't have to do too much editing. But, yeah.
But Lithium is such a cunt that she out-cunts, like, 9/11 and joining the Navy were, like, backup thoughts of mine.
She manages to outshine that with just her horribleness. It's true. It's a talent, but not one I'd want to have.
Way to upstage 9/11. God.
Seriously. And that's what she was aiming to do her whole life, I think, was upstage things. And I had a kind of half-side discussion about her because she had come up, and I realized that the thing I never liked about her the most was she always acted like she was so important, but she had nothing to back that up. She wasn't very smart. She wasn't super attractive. She wasn't even rich. She couldn't even pull out the, like, my parents give me a lot of money, you have to like me. Like, none of that. She had nothing. I don't know why she thought she was so special. Not that any of this thing makes you specialer than anyone else. I just want to put that on the table. But anyway, there you go.
No, you've got it exactly right. She was perfectly average, and there was nothing special about her, but she tried desperately to make it seem like she was very special, and idiots like me were like, oh no, look, she's real special.
Well, now seeing it from, like, the retrospect, though, that makes so much sense. I can see how you were trying to, like, fit her into a puzzle piece space that she could have theoretically worked in if she had actually been telling the truth about anything. Not that that was a good puzzle you were trying to put together. It was kind of a lie, but it was one that you were working on, trying very hard to get it put together. So I can see how you buy into her shit.
You got to know, you knew Lithium way before I knew Lithium.
I knew her in fucking kindergarten, and she was just as shitty then. Just a terrible, terrible child. She was no fun. No fun.
I know. And I just keep getting perspective of, like, why would I be around this person?
You know, it's interesting because you mentioned that the two of you were funny, and it was true. Like, I never actually saw that side of her until you were hanging out with her. Like, I always saw her as, like, such a, just a beige dud. She just bored the shit out of me. And at least having tits named after an Italian food was interesting. I thought that was funny. So we got some eventually.
Where were you? What's your 9/11 memory? Like, where were you?
Kind of idea. Like, driving in the car, I had no attention span. Like, I couldn't listen to a whole morning show, so I was just, like, surfing around. And I got the point when every fucking station wanted to talk about this fucking something that had just happened, so I better fucking listen. And then I went to Wendy's and brought a cheeseburger home to have it with my grandmother, because I had that same idea. I'm like, well, if we're all going to die, I'm going to die fat anyway, so let's have a cheeseburger.
I wish that they had on the radio said that the buildings that Macaulay Culkin stood on in the second Home Alone
that
would have really put, like, a visual to, like, what they were talking about, because I was just an idiot and was like, what's that?
I hear what you're saying. I did vaguely remember it again, like, from a Simpsons episode where they, like, run up and down the two towers, so I understood there were two towers, but they meant nothing to me. I didn't know what they did there other than sight gags sometimes. And I never even put the two together that was where Macaulay Culkin was standing. So nobody really kept us up to date on those things before they were gone.
Oh, my God. My jaw is dropped because I know the Simpsons episode you're talking about. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Right? And it was kind of lodged in my brain because that was all I really did was get high and watch The Simpsons. So that was my only point of reference. And, you know, clearly a bummer. But it was, yeah, everything went to really weird shit for the 2 days at, well, 2 days, for a long time after that. But like the immediate aftermath was just, it was crazy. Everybody was in a coma almost.
Yeah, everyone had their American flags on their car and everyone was just, you know, super
like American. And she's the most like liberal, like don't get mad at anybody, let's be friends with everybody. But I swear she might have run out with an AK-47 and just started like shouting at people if you know, properly provoked.
Now, how did I join the Navy? I mean, not how did I did I come home one day and say I joined the, I don't remember telling you guys I joined the Navy.
You did. You came home one day, but like you have to remember that this was a series of times when you came home one day. And just, I wish I could do the mental montage, because it's like just you coming through the door, like, I'm fucking gay. I'm dating a woman with a baby. I'm fucking hot. You can't stand. I'm going in the Navy. Like, no idea. Every time you came in, it was a new fucking page. And I was just like, well, I don't know if that's the best idea, but you had all that stuff preloaded. Your mom told you you were going to get drafted, and it would be a good place to get your college career set up. And like you she had firmly affixed like the cult or whatever mindset that you were like going to grow up and be an upstanding citizen, and you guys were going to do stuff. And this was the first step to being grown ups who are doctors and lawyers at 23. I know that was a red flag. I tried to pass on you, and I think you just kind of looked at me and you're like, no, she can do it. And that was the end of that point. Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's firmly attached to her. Like, I remember that coming out, and I was like, this girl is a mess.
Yeah. I forgot about that, but it was like our grown up plan. We, you know, I was joining the Navy, and she, I don't even know what the fuck she was doing, but like, she had some fucking dumb idea.
Yeah. She was going to somehow get your Navy money to support her, too. That was like a backbone of her. And it was like you were going to become the cash cow, and she was very excited.
Yeah, that's not the role I play. Gosh, this is all messed up.
Right. That, everything had been turned on its head. That was my take on what was going on at the time. It's just like everything kept getting it turned on its head. But in a way, it makes sense now because, like, you were just trying to flip the script and figure out, like, well, maybe this will work.
Yeah.
Try this.
So what was it like to, I mean, obviously, we told everyone that Auntie Patty's your mom. Like, we get that. Everyone gets that.
Yeah,
if they don't
get
that, then
if they don't get it, they get it. Right?
So you, I lived in the basement, and so basically you got to be a witness for a lot of the lithium fights and the big lithium ending.
I did. I got to be there for a lot of the show. I was usually only able to hear it because I hid upstairs. Because I had my own sham of a life going on that I thought was very important. So I would just hear, like, rumblings from the basement every once in a while. And you're right. They always sounded exactly the same. Like, she'd, and you'd be like, and then, slam, bang. 20 minutes later, she's back with a pizza. Like, that was literally her fucking routine.
Yeah. And you're my witness. You were there as there was literally a knock on the window. Tap, tap, tap. I can hear everything you're saying. Also, I brought a pizza.
Window with a pizza, listening to us basically pitch her out for I don't even know how long. We were getting high, and I think drinking her booze, possibly. I don't remember the exact amount, but I do remember that we were like, I think we might have been smoking her weed as well. Because that was one thing she was kind of good for. She'd show up with, and that was.
I would steal weed from her all the time.
Yeah, that was kind of like the almost unofficial rent she paid when she would just not leave because nobody served her a formal eviction, but she just wouldn't go. No matter how many times she had.
I really want people to understand that when she's outside at the window, this is a room in a basement. So she is crouched down to the ground with a pizza. Listening through a basement window.
I do. That's how I picture her, is in that crouch, like just peering with that fucking face of hers, just peering at us. Like, yeah, we know you're there.
God.
We don't care. God, I'm getting high. Get out of
here. Oh, you know what else we have to add into that montage of me walking through the door is me walking through saying, I'm going to get married to lithium.
Yep, and you do. You need to add that in because that was a whole insane It was, I don't even remember how long it was. You said you dated her for a year, and that, like, I mean, I believe that's true, but it just, that seems impossible. I mean, you dated her for, like, 2 years, but, like, that, like a whole year of just, like, it being regular, which seems really...
It seems, I no, it doesn't, I'm so honest right now. I could not, for the life of me, piece together a real timeline for this part
it's
of life.
Hard.
Like,
it's hard.
It was really hard, and it goes, because it goes from Willow right into Lithium, right into 9/11, right into the Navy, which goes right into an engagement, which goes right into the end of an, like, we were engaged for maybe like 3 months, 2 months, because then I was like, I'm quitting the Navy.
And there was that whole ridiculous miscarriage thing she pulled. But I mean, the time that she really had one was true, but like then beforehand she had, and I remember that being another red flag that I tried to like severely alert you about. I'm like, no, you can't pretend that you went through a traumatizing event to like that, of that caliber, to get out of going like to work on a Tuesday or like through Tuesday. It was like a 4-day weekend or something she wanted. It was not.
It wasn't
to do any good either. It was to, like, go to like summer jam or something. Fucking ridiculous. Like, it was not something that you'd tell everyone in your life you had a huge trauma, unless you're a complete fucking sociopath. So,
right, like, it's not like she was trying to get out of the Navy. Like, it's
right. That's a great, that's a very topical comparison. But yes, if you have a really good reason to tell a really good lie, hey, you know what? You've sat with it for a long time, and you're right. You figured out, lie about people who are already dead. It brings a lot less karma. But yeah, like, I used a bad thing, and I should try to pass that along. I just want to put that on the table. I was trying to be alert here.
You were one of a few many great people who were trying to, like, hold up a great mirror of, like, hey, let's get what's going on over here. I was living by the script. I was writing the script.
You know, and it's, I can see it so much better now, because, like, I was doing similar things in my own life, but if, you know, you did try to mention them, I'd just be like, cognitive dissonance, what? I gotta go, bye. And that was it. So I get it, you know. But it's fun that I at least think we tried to reach out for each other there. It was a good stumbling in the darkness.
Yeah, A for effort. I'm not even going to try to do a timeline, and I'm just going to totally shift gears, because I just remembered, through this whole Lithium thing, I realized if I ever do drag, I have the perfect drag name for myself.
Oh, what is it?
Miss Carriage.
Oh, Jesus, that's perfect!
And horrible.
So dark.
But yes, I'd be like an emo dark drag queen, but I'd be Miss
I see the dresses,
Carriage.
they're red and they're exploding in places, and like the makeup that goes with it is just obscene. I love it already. I'm so behind this.
What do you remember about the court scene? Walk me through what you remember with going to court, because that was a big what do you call that, like finale or something? I don't know.
Yeah, it was a great finale that even had like the plot twist and everything, because like all I remember was getting told to be quiet, because I get told to be quiet a lot in my life. This was a really important time to like not say the things you're thinking. Just don't do it. Don't say them quietly to your friends. Don't even write them down. Just sit there and be quiet.
Oh, that's
and
right.
I did.
We were told by the lawyer not to really like talk to each other.
Mm-hmm. We had to pretend that like we didn't exist, and it was very hard because this was huge, and she had really sold it like you were the fucking lifetime special of a boyfriend who or fiance or whatever that like used her when she was at her most vulnerable, and like totally left out the parts where she was breaking and entering into someone else's house entirely to come and basically like assault you. I think she was coming to assault you in some way. I don't remember the specific of why she was trying to get in, other than she couldn't say no. If you went somewhere, she'd follow you. Like, she did follow you to New York. You just left, and you're like, I'm not even going to mention where I am. And she figured it out and got there. And
that bitch found me.
Like, fucking secret detectiving you. Like, she would interrogate me, like, if I happened to wander to the bathroom at the wrong time, because she'd still be there when you weren't there. That was fucking special.
Exactly.
Oh, and that's... Hey, whatever. It was an open house at that point, I guess.
And I don't know if my part got cut out, but I she would be a squatter in your house, not paying rent, and then have the audacity to be like, I can't use the bathroom or touch the stove. It's so gross.
at my notes, I was like, I need to mention this, that she had the fucking audacity to, like, turn her nose up that food that my mother gave her because she's like, oh, this poor girl must have nowhere to live. Would you like some mashed potatoes and shit on a shingle? And she just looked at it like it was a dead animal and that my mother just tried to, like, rub her fucking face in it. And I wanted to punch her on several occasions and did not and was proud of myself. So, yeah, that was fucking special of her. And she'd get weird about the bathroom. I'm like, hey, the bathroom's not the best bathroom in the world, all right? It's a fucking old log cabin bathroom. You can just imagine how special it is. We did our best. But there are 7 people just traipsing through using it willy-nilly. There's one bathroom. I mean, what the fuck? Did she want the fucking... Anyway, I need to die in the bathroom.
No, I know. It's like, bitch, you're sleeping in the basement of this fucking place, and you're worried about the bathroom?
I'm sure she ate at least enough spiders to have made it worth it, so fuck her. But yeah, that was definitely a note I took on this one. And the changing, trading spaces, whatever the fuck, when she came into the basement while nobody was home and changed your room was another sociopath red flag. Like, when I saw that, I'm like, you don't do that to other people. Like, I have trouble with what you can and can't do, so I've learned the rules, and that's against the rules, and that's up. You don't do that.
Yeah. That was a big fucking horrible one for me, because remember, underneath all that blue paint was our beautiful, like, do-what-you-want walls. It was like,
yeah.
You came into my room, and I had paint, and you couldn't leave that room until you painted on my wall. Like, it was just, like, a fucking horrible,
ugly mess.
It was
like a community art. Yeah, it was great, and she just was like, well, I don't respect it, and I don't like that you've had a life before me. I'm painting over it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I hated her. See, these are the little moments that, like, you know, you can explain to someone, like, oh, and even give them the broad strokes, but it's like these fucking special little details that it was like I wanted to strangle her just when I saw her face. I don't know how you put up with her for, I guess, like 2 years, which, I mean, we all were doing things for a long time, so I believe it, sure, that sounds reasonable.
I know, that's the second year is that whole time of what we're talking about now with, like, the basement and her being a squatter and her, with us fighting and breaking up because that was, like, from 9/11 to the next fall was, like, joining the Navy and, you know, being engaged. And then once I went to New York, it was over. But it was just, like, wasn't over until the next June when we went to court.
That's true, because you did. You were trying to disengage. You were trying to be very, like, almost diplomatic. Like, you'd learned some good Patty lessons. And you were like, well, I just don't think this venture should go forward. We're moving in different directions, and I want to do this, and you want to do that. And she'd just have a... unholy explosion.
Yeah, I can't believe it was real.
I know, it is. It was a crazy episode. But it was part of you working this shit out. You had to go through that, I think, to discover that, like, no matter what, this is not going to work.
This is not good. Oh. Do you have any other bullet points that we didn't talk about that you wrote down?
Oh, let me look back. That she's still a cunt, I checked on Facebook because I had to, because obviously I'm a human being in this modern world.
Yeah,
and,
my bonus question was going to be, what do you think she's up to? But I'm glad you Facebooked her, because after I got up with my last person, I totally did too. So we know what we're talking about.
Broad strokes again. I just looked very quickly because her face still makes me want to fucking kill her. And she looks just like that fucking person who puts their shit on Facebook like they have it all together and in their private life is a nightmare. And I'm going to guess she hasn't progressed very far, so that's probably still true.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. When I was looking at it, I was like, oh, so this is, yeah, she's, like, constructing the picture she wants us to see. That's, like, her best photo she has, which isn't even that good of a photo.
It's kind of hideous, but that's fine. I'm fine.
And, like, yeah, it's got the, and I don't even know if any of that information is real. Like, this is the, I'm the whatever of this company, and I have this, and here's all my pictures, and I don't know.
I didn't believe any of that. When you did the ending part was my favorite part, because I think it gave the best flavor just because it was such rapid fire craziness out of her. Like, I don't believe anything she says anymore because she turned out to be a pathological liar. Like, literally everything she told you, even, like, she'd lie just to practice lying. She didn't give a fuck about the truth. It didn't even matter to her, which I always found so funny because, like, you couldn't help yourself but tell the truth, you know, except when you told giant whoppers. But you just loved walking into a room and telling the truth, and she'd be like, well,
right,
I'm going to lie.
Yes.
So, kind of crazy. I always thought it was also creepy as fuck that she just totally helped you bust out of Willow's life.
Yeah.
I out of all the people that you ever have been with, excluding present company, I always liked her as a human being. And like, even though I did think it was sort of crazy that at 17 you thought you needed to be taking care of a baby, that baby is a wonderful human being because of the part you played in its life. And she was a good human being, and I couldn't believe that this broad would just shit all over that for the fuck of it to take you away so she could, which I was offended by even back then. So again, many, many red flags, and just we did our best.
I know. I just got off the phone with Michelle doing her part of the weed cap, and what I really loved about hearing from her was that she didn't, it's not that she didn't like this chapter, she just really hates lithium, and she's never even met her. And I was like, good, then I did my job, because that's all I wanted to do.
really
was change
just
the picture of what this cunt was.
What she truly is like, what you find out she's like when you spend way too much time with her and everything starts falling apart. Yeah, it was, oh man, it was an adventure. I'm like, I'm winded thinking about it. Jesus.
I know. And I gave her the teaser of like, don't worry, this trilogy ends with Willow coming back, so don't
don't get sad yet. She's like, things are great now. And honestly, like, I think things turned out the very best they could for situations that were not going to end fairy tale ways. Oh, just like, because for her, it still kind of did, because, like, I still feel like she's got a great life, and she should be really happy. It is still a fairy tale ending, but, like, not the one she was banking on. Or,
yeah. No, yeah.
Oh, and the only other thing I wanted to kind of make is, a political statement almost, is that, like, I thought it was so interesting that you would not just tell the Navy you were gay when you wanted to get out, because that was, like, my go-to when they, like, I think it was the Army, but, like, when they came after me right after high school, and they were like, yeah, you should join, it'd be great for you. I was like, no, college. They're like, we'll pay for college. I'm like, fat. Like, you can exercise. I'm like, gay. And they're like, have a nice afternoon. And then I never had to talk to them. And I'm not. Obviously, it doesn't matter if I am, but, like, I wasn't. I just, you know, like, I had tried everything that was going to work, and then I knew that one would do it. Can't mention that. It's against the rules.
I know. It never crossed my mind once. Never once did it even cross my mind.
Because I clicked on there first. That was like when I, you know, I figured I'd just go the traditional route and maybe get them to fuck off. But I should realize they're high-pressure salesmen. They're not going to go away until you give them a reason.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's because of the whole, like, coming out and then going back in that I lie about that, because it was something that I was so trying to bury, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. That's true. I think that because I was so trapped in my own hormonal teenage world that I think at the time I discounted a lot of how much of a fucking experience that must have been. I was just jealous you didn't have to fucking go to high school anymore.
I know. Hey, I know. I don't know why everyone doesn't do that.
Well, they fucking should. It was a great plan. I was like, oh, son of a bitch.
So stupid.
And I am super looking forward to the next chapter, even though I already know what happens, just because I always enjoy the way that when you tell it, I remember shit about my own life I've forgotten, which is wonderful.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah, it always makes me smile. And I always encourage basically everybody to fucking listen.
Oh, good. Yeah, I've arrived. Like,
and you know me, I'm not a big sales. But anyway, I did, and I got Patty on board. And I think that I honestly, my next mission is to get on board, because I feel like it's like such important information for like straight men to hear. And I also feel like there could be some really good like outreach, because like from having heard personal stories from like a straight dude's point of view or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of that same angst, and like if everybody could just put down their fucking screaming testosterone, although I know that's like the whole point of puberty is like you are screaming hormones, but like if you could just dial that down, it would be so much easier to like cross that divide. And maybe that's happening now. It seems like maybe it is, but then also maybe like we're all going to just die in a fireball, so I have no idea.
It's a matter of trying however you get them to listen, but once you get them to listen, straight guys love my podcast. They love the stories because I talk, straight guys don't usually get to listen to someone talk about sucking a dick without throwing, you know, rah, rah, rah. But
right.
These guys
without have to be like, wait, someone hear that? I'm gay. Great. Now I'm gay and everyone knows. Great.
Yeah, no, I've had straight guys reach out and been like, hey, I think it's so great, blah, blah, and I'm always flabbergasted and I don't know what to say, and I try to get away as soon as possible because it makes me uncomfortable. But yeah, I don't know what it is, but if you can get them to actually do it, they do enjoy it, so.
I will. And I actually think that he might. And my lead-in is going to be the Boy Scout episode, because he actually, I think, was in Boy Scouts, possibly with you. I don't remember.
Probably.
But he remembered the kid who was fucking the ground. So
he was at least but they have, because you have your big monthly meeting, and that's like everyone in Wareham. So
yeah, so he was at least there. But like, I feel like he could really, because like his first, like his eyes like got real wide. Like, oh my god, I remember that kid. So I feel like if he listened to that episode, he would get where some things were coming from. So I'm gonna start
there.
There was
a kid who fucked the ground. Oh, the kid who fucked the ground in Scouts.
I don't think he fucked the ground in Scouts, but I think he just fucked the ground. It was like
at the beach.
Yes. You had him do it at the beach, but I guess Dan had known him from there, and I guess
Raymond's right.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
Oh my god, his dick was so small.
Of course, he was a child, and he really felt the need to fuck the ground. I don't know. It was very weird. That always stuck with me. I was like, wow, that's intense. I'm sure it sticks with many people who hear it. But anyway, I guess he was there too.
Yeah,
but I feel
forgot about Raymond Simmons. I know I talked about shoving his moon rock down the sink, but I forgot he had that hole, like, he fucked the hole, and then when he fucked the hole, he peed in it.
Oh my god, that's the whole, like, topper I never knew about.
Yeah, he went pee in it, and he went pee with an erection somehow. I don't think that was possible, but he also, like, in the tent, we camped in his yard, and he was the one who wanted me to, like, hold his private, like, cut his ball and cock,
oh my god,
and told
me
to hold it until he fell asleep, because he said that's what his mom did. I don't know.
That's so bad. Oh my god. Yeah. Wow. That's true. That's really true. And it explains so many things.
And I even think he tried to top me in the tent. I remember him like getting on top, saying, "Do you want me to put it in or something like that?" I mean, this was like fourth or fifth grade. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
Wow.
Look at that. Whole new chapter. See, that's what I mean, though. This is what happens when I listen to things. I'll wander off a hallway and there'll be a whole new bag of stuff down there.
Yeah. Very robust. That's so great. Oh my god. All right. Well, that was worth it.
that was really fun, actually. I had a really good time. Thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, thank you for taking time out of your weekend, and I love you, and we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely, anytime. And if you, if I come up with anything else, I will message you.
Yay, okay, thank you.
Bye.
Love you, bye-bye.
That's the show for today. Thank you so much for listening. You are all freaking awesome. If you want to keep up with me and the weird shit that I post, follow me on Instagram at TheThomasAnonymous. You can also message the show on the Facebook page at ThomasAnonymousPodcast. And if you're on Twitter, go fuck yourself, whatever, at Tommy Natoli at TheWeedCap. I want to say thank you to all the awesome people that were on the show today, Wacky Jackie. You can find and subscribe to her show on YouTube at Glamour Smashed Face. Thank you to Kate! Exclamation, because she's in my phone. Kate! Exclamation, me. You can follow Kate on this show when she's on, because sorry, she's my private area. You can't touch her. Haha. And thank you, Michelle, with one L. You can follow her and her fabulous hair on Instagram. Actually, I don't think she puts her hair on Instagram, because I don't know, pillows and crafts and stuff. But anyway, you can follow her on Instagram at Don't Sit On Me Pillows. As always, I want to give a special shout out and thank you to bensound.com and Majestic Color for providing the music you hear in the show. I will be back very, very soon, I promise, with the final Vag chapter, part 3. And oh my god, I can't wait for it to be over and get back to where I belong, sucking dick! Okay, bye!